Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast. Hi, this is Carrie Butler. Welcome to Breaking Broadway, an insider's guide to making it on Broadway. I get to meet a lot of aspiring performers at the stage door and through social media, and their biggest question is, how do I make it on Broadway? Well, lean in. I am going to give you the answer. There is no one answer. Everyone's journey is different. It's not something I can answer in one DM, and that is why I started this podcast. I'm going to give you tips from all different kinds of professionals, insider tips to help you find your way. So put on your dance belts, people. Here we go.
Once I played a Penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved her bees. A ghost is recently deceased.
Hi, welcome to Breaking Broadway with Carrie Butler. And today I am so excited for my guests because this is the question you all ask me like a million times a day on my Instagram page. So today we have the manager, Jen Namoff, manager to the stars, and my agent, Tim Marshall, who is with Stuart Talent. Oh, and Jen, your company is
Soffer Namoff.
Okay, great. Thank you. So first, who would like to start and tell their story about how they got into this business?
I guess that's me.
Okay, great.
Hi, Carrie Butler.
Hello.
So how did I start in this business? You know, I grew up 20 minutes outside of Manhattan. So
where?
In New Jersey.
Yes.
Northern Jersey. So I'm a Jersey boy.
Yes, love it.
It's funny, my dad had season tickets to every sporting event, you know, the Yankees, the Devils, the Nets, and my brother was a big sports guy. He was a year older than me, and I tolerated it, but, you know, my mother and my grandmother, you know, spent their whole lives going to Broadway shows. So when I was a little boy, they started bringing me. So at the age of five, I started going to Broadway shows.
What was your first show?
Probably The Tap Dance Kid.
Oh.
Back in the day. What really, all my friends know this and they make fun of me. The big one that, you know, I really took a liking to was Starlight Express.
Oh!
Yes, which of course.
Is hysterical.
I saw that too.
You know, it's, you know, Andrea McArdle, Jane Krakowski, all these, you know, great actors who were in it. But, I mean, my grandmother probably took me 10 times. And we always sat in the extra special seats, which were in the middle of the stage. Mm-hmm. And I still have my ticket stub.
Aww.
And those were the really expensive seats of $47.50. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, twice a month.
Wow.
We would, at least twice a month, we would come and see a Broadway show. And I, you know, for a brief second thought I wanted to be an actor. And then I realized it just wasn't for me. I was in college and one of our professors had someone come in and talk to us who was on Broadway at the time. And she said, if you can think of anything else to do in this business, do it.
So
and
smart.
We've all heard that a million times.
So true.
And it was so visual for me because I almost saw those words float over everyone's head. Mm-hmm. And for me, it smacked me in the face. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can think of other things I want to do. So cutting to, I graduated college with an arts administration degree and a performance degree, but I knew I didn't want to perform. But I knew I wanted to be an agent, you know, maybe a casting director, but the agent world always interested me. But I wanted to have that experience of saying I auditioned for a Broadway show. So I went to an open call of Once Upon a Mattress, that revival they were doing with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow. Oh.
And I wasn't union. I wasn't going to get in. But I took my beach chair and I waited for hours, hours and hours. And I finally got in at the tail end of the day. And I sang my eight bars. But before I started, I said to the person behind the desk, I said, I'm just doing this for experience. I don't really need or want the job. And all of a sudden, this guy who was in the back corner of the room turned around and he said, oh, I got to hear this. It happened to be, just coincidentally, the director, Jerry Gutierrez, who has now passed away. And he heard me sing my eight bars and he said, I have great news for you. And I said, you do? And he goes, yeah, you didn't get it. But on my resume throughout college, I had interned at places like Saturday Night Live and Sam French, all these different places. And he said, are you looking to get into production? And I said, yes. He set me up with an interview with Dodger Productions.
That's amazing.
And at the time, they had The King and I, Once Upon a Mattress, Forum, Titanic. They had a bunch of shows. So I really got into the company management world. And I did that for a couple years. And I went over and worked for Richard Frankel for a while. But I just knew I would hear these general managers on the phone negotiating contracts with agents. And I'd be like, no, the agent's right. The agent should be getting that. And I'm like, I'm on the wrong side. So an actor that I was working with in, as a company manager set me up with the agency that he was represented with. I was with that agency for 15 years. And then now I've been with Stuart Talent for 7 years. So that's a very long-winded story of how I got into this
business. That's great that you have that other experience. You were on the other side of the table. So that's why you're a good
agent.
I love,
I love negotiating contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a passion, and I do see both sides of
yes.
it, you know, and, you know, I always say at the end of the day, everyone should be unhappy with the contract. That's probably where you should land.
Yeah. And Jen?
Yes. My story is a little similar, but not really. I mean, I definitely thought for a minute I was going to be an actor. Mm-hmm. Never did it professionally, got the headshots, and they still are in a box somewhere. Came to New York and just kind of felt like, well, actually I went to Syracuse for musical theater and theater.
Oh.
And yeah, and then just realized I was more of a putting the pieces together and couldn't really kind of be in the moment and be an actor. I was too busy trying to like choreograph the scene, mm-hmm. which is essentially what I do now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, let me try to see what else is out there. You know, started interning Judy Henderson Casting.
Oh, yeah.
It was my first job right out of school with Judy and Kim. And then worked at the Roundabout for a little brief stint. And then someone said, you should, you know, get an intern at a talent agency. And I thought, that sounds, I don't know if I want to do that. I was an actor. I don't know if I could do that. Cut to, I was there for 4 years and loved working with actors, but was not an agent. Just wasn't, didn't feel like me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely started getting excited about producing and, you know, produced a couple concerts mm-hmm. and albums and started really getting excited about the creative side with the artist. Mm-hmm. So that kind of led me to, people were like, well, you love working with actors, go be a manager. I was like, oh, okay. Let me just see what that's like. And so I ended up leaving, I guess I was 27 at the time. Yeah, and just kind of became a manager. Just decided I'm going to do it. Opened up a company with a manager I work with.
I know Jeff. I love him.
Well, yes. Jeff Soffer, who I adore to pieces. Yeah, that was, well, I guess 2012 is when we opened up Soffer and Amoff.
And since we're on you right now, what are the differences for our audience between an agent and a manager? Like, why would someone need one?
I mean, I think it kind of depends on it's very personal. You know, some people might say, I want a full team, you know, right out of school. That's what I want a manager to kind of be a little bit more explained. Okay, I want to wear this or
look. You have less hold your hand.
Yeah, right. You have less clients in theory.
That's right.
So I think that's, wouldn't you say that's kind of like the main.
In theory, yeah.
In theory, yeah. You have less clients and, you know, you work with the agent and kind of everybody does their role and that's what makes the best team. But, you know,
for people starting out, you'll also help them get an agent if they can't get an agent.
Exactly. So some, you know, might, if I work with someone that maybe hadn't met an agency yet, you know, we'll set up those meetings and, or if at the time find a publicist, you know, it depends on, or a lawyer, you know, kind of be the quote unquote leader of the team and help, you know, bring on everybody else.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I'm not a manager, but I think there's a misconception amongst especially young actors, maybe right out of school, that they have this idea that I need a career to manage before I get a manager.
Right.
And I think that's a very, again, personal decision, but I think it's a trap because I think a really good manager knows the difference between what a manager and an agent does. And a manager can really get you off on the right, on the right track here.
Yeah.
So I just hear a lot of young actors say that. And I just wanted to say, I think that that's a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So how do you guys find clients? That is what everyone wants to know.
I just find Tim Marshall's clients.
Right.
I think it's kind of a combination, you know. For me, it's I just find actors that I am really excited by and as people and talent and then want to work with them, or agent referrals, or sometimes out of school.
Yeah, you go to the school showcases.
A couple of them, yeah. So kind of it's all over the place, I would say.
It is all over the place. And, you know, every agency, I'll just speak in the agency world, every agency is different, you know, of how many developmental clients they want on their list. And for me, you know, we are not interested in having 500 clients on our list. We pride ourselves that we keep a tight, exclusive list. Mm-hmm. Because if you add someone, that takes time away from who you've already made that commitment to. But we really what it comes down to is, am I going to be additive? Am I going to change the equation for that actor? I was just talking to you about it, actually.
Yeah.
I remember back in the 90s, a lot of agencies would be like, are you a Roger or a Mark? And nowadays it's, are you Elphaba or are you Glinda?
Oh.
And I'm just talking musical theater right now, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's for me, that's a super boring way to work. I do consider myself an artist of sorts, and I represent artists. And if I'm looking to plug someone into the hot show this year, that's a very short-term way of doing business. And when I sign someone, I really do envision them staying with me their entire career. And I've been very lucky in that way. I've represented people for, you know, close to 20 years at this point. And so when
I think that makes you one of the really good ones, though, because I don't think everybody is like that.
Right. I mean, thank you. That's nice. But it's also important. And some people, you know, I add the personal aspect to it. And always when I'm sitting in front of an actor and I say, you know, I'm thinking, do I want to sign this person? Do I not want to sign this person? I'm very old school and I get on the phone often. I like being on the phone. And if I can't envision myself wanting to talk to that person on the phone often, then they're not the right actor for me.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So they could be the best actor you've ever seen. And if you don't feel like you would gel with them as a person, then you wouldn't.
I have to add the 100%
human element. Yeah.
You know, because if not, almost everyone I meet is talented. It's not about talent.
Yeah.
It's really for me about a personal connection and adding that human element so that when I'm calling the casting director or producer or director and I'm talking about my client, you know, I should never play poker. I have a really bad poker face. So they know if I'm excited about someone or not. They know if I'm passionate about that actor. And it also, if anyone looks at my client list, I think everyone is also very different and unique.
Mm-hmm.
So when I may be talking about you, Carrie, for one role and another actor for that same role, but it's a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I have anyone like Carrie Butler. So that also is a
big... Well, who is, really?
There's no one like Carrie Butler.
I mean, really,
exactly. I was just going to say, there's only one.
I didn't want to state the obvious. But it is important. So how do I hear about these, you know, how do I meet people? At this point, very often through referral, through managers, again, casting directors. It really, if a casting director ever calls, you know, there's a respect there that, of course, I'm going to say yes, and I respect their taste. And if they think I might be the right match for them, I'm going to take the meeting. It doesn't mean I'm going to sign them, but there's just a respect there. But, you know, I also think it's important for, especially, I'll go back to young actors, find out who the assistants are in certain offices and maybe someone who just got promoted to an agent. You know, I have a young agent in my office who's looking to build his list and looking to build his reputation.
That's a great point.
Those are the people that you should target because people that have more of a solidified list, they're probably going to be a bit more picky. So just to be blunt, if anyone sends me a picture and resume in the mail, which doesn't happen that often anymore. It's, I guess, or email. I don't even open it. It's just delete.
Wow.
Instagram
DM, which is now a thing.
So people shouldn't even bother sending their wasting the money.
Stuff, no.
Okay.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. I get that. If you're sending a hard copy of a picture again, which not many people do, it's money, you know, but as far as unsolicited
email, so how would they
email,
find the new agents? Is it in the Ross reports? Is that where?
Is there a Ross reports
anymore?
I don't
even know if that still exists.
Yeah.
There's, I think, like Variety that they have their
databases. Yeah, IMDb.
IMDb Pro, I would say, is the one where you can kind of find out who reps who.
Okay.
You know, which I always tell them, like, do your research, find out the careers that you want, people that you want to be repped by, and kind of look them up. And that's how you know what agencies are out there, what managers are out there.
That's really smart. Yeah.
I truly believe there, you know, again, every agency is different and they work differently. And there's not necessarily a right way of working and a wrong way of working. It's just very different. So I think I've even said this too, it's important to take that word representation literally. Is that agent, is that manager saying what should be said in the manner it should be said, to whom it should be said to, but especially in the way that represents who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm never going to call a producer or a general manager and scream and yell at them when I'm talking about you because that's not who you are.
Right?
I'm an extension of your voice in a way.
Uh-huh.
And I'll leave it. I'll leave it there. You know,
let's go further.
I may not scream and yell, but I'll definitely voice my opinion. Yeah. So.
That's hilarious. That's amazing. So for the people just starting out, can you think of any way that they could get in front of you? You know, if say they didn't get any responses at their theater showcase. So if you go to college. Make sure, I always say, make sure you go to a college that has a showcase, first of all. Mm-hmm. That's a showcase for agents. Right. And so say they don't get a response, an agent from their showcase, is it really like they have to be, get through the open calls, or is there a way that they could get in front of you?
I think it's a combination. I mean, obviously, I think the more you audition, the more you get out there and get in front of casting directors, the more, you know, they'll refer, you know, the special talent to us, but also they have great things like one-on-one and, mm-hmm. you know, where you can meet Tim or myself and other agents and managers and casting directors.
Yes.
I feel like there's a bunch of those.
Even when I was, you know, successful, I've already been on Broadway, I would go to those mm-hmm. one-on-ones or actor connections just because people would put me in, pigeonhole me as a musical theater person. Right. So the people who I couldn't get in the room with, I would go, you sure. know, you're basically paying for an audition, but you do get uh-huh. something out of it. Yeah. They'll give you advice. And a lot of times they'll keep track of uh-huh. those people and then call them in when they're right for something.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You know, I think as far as showcase is concerned, if you don't get the response that you want out of showcase, actors think it's the end of the world, and mm-hmm. it just isn't.
Oh,
isn't.
Good.
I can think of, and I tons. There's yeah. tons of actors, really successful actors, who have the story of saying, I got zero response.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think you're in is really through then a casting director. Mm-hmm. Start auditioning, start going to open calls. The work will speak for itself. You don't need to book the job in order to make an impression.
Right.
And a casting director will then call and say, hey, they just are out of Carnegie Mellon and they didn't get any response. They're well-trained. I've seen them audition for a few things. I think you should take a second look.
Right.
Because, you know, showcase is very tricky. You get 3 minutes mm-hmm. to make an impression and to stand out. It's an uphill battle mm-hmm. and nerves play a big part in it. Right. And I remember there's specifically one actor went to a very credited school, did not get a single response. Craig Burns mm-hmm. called and said, I think you need to meet this person.
Wow.
And I mean, now this person is a very successful actor. And I did meet them and I saw something else. I connected on a personal level. We signed her, and I mean, she's a nonstop working actor. So,
right.
You just have to trust in the process and really understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm. Really good point.
It also kind of depends on the time of year, because there have been years where right. I'm like this, I'm slammed this year. I can't even think about signing someone out of showcase. And that has nothing to do with the talent being
right.
good or bad. It's just where I'm at. So you might have the same year where you're like, we have so many of that type. We're not, you know,
yep.
and it's not about the talent or how good they are. It's just about timing.
Right.
Is there a certain quality that you look for in, like, when you're looking for a new client besides personality, like you said?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Obviously, the personal connection, the talent, of course, but willingness to be open to learning and listening, and a real team player aspect for me is really important. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it is, you know, it's a collaboration and it's a journey, and they have to be, you know, game for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for me, really important.
Yeah, it's really just about wanting to, having that desire to invest in someone. And whether you're meeting someone with 20, 30 years of experience in the business, that takes a certain amount of energy and focus. Or someone right out of school who, you know, you're using this jargon and this lingo and they have no idea what that right. means. And you're like, all right, slow down. They don't understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And this conversation is now going to be 20 minutes longer than it needs to be. But what we do is not brain surgery, but I do take it seriously when someone gives me a piece of what they do. And they say, here, I'm entrusting you with my career and what I'm doing. So in return, that they deserve my time and my attention. And especially someone out of, you know, undergrad program, they're so green. And green mm-hmm. only...
That's what the podcast is for.
Right? Yeah.
And, no, it's so great.
You know, green does not mean bad or any... It's just new. Green
yeah.
means new.
Yeah.
So you have to take the time and be like, all right, you're going in for this casting director. This is what you should expect.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you're going in for this person. This is what you should expect. And just those little tools when help, because then they're not caught off guard. And be
so
like,
what are the things that you have to explain? Just like sign in on the sheet? Do you have to go that far? Or
no, it's more everything. Maybe about a personality,
yeah.
you know, of oh. like, you know, just a personality of like what to expect when you walk in the room.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all bring ourselves into the room, you know, into any conversation. And that's what casting directors do. That's what producers mm-hmm. do, directors, you know, and some, you know, some rooms are going to be warmer than others and
uh-huh.
they just don't have the time to add, to be personal, like just go in and do your work.
Right.
It's these sorts of conversations that can help set up an actor.
What not to wear. Yeah, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. So now, say
that I love a manager for because
yeah.
it's like,
I feel like that's sort of
hair,
yeah,
makeup,
all
of that can tip
photos,
the scale. Right.
You know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, say you want to work with someone, do you freelance? Do you sign them right away? How does that?
I definitely don't.
Definitely
for
don't
me,
freelance.
It's like marriage. You know, I have to see myself wanting to work with you your whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, most of my clients, that's over a decade,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's a real investment. So I take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it takes a minute. I'm like, yes, I have to work with this person. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, you know, let's meet a little bit more and let's get to know each other. And I want to see more of your work. And so it's kind of a combination, I would mm-hmm. say.
Yeah. I won't freelance.
No.
It's all in or nothing.
Yeah. But some agents do, right? Whereas, what do you think about that?
I mean, I'm sure some do.
I'm sure
yeah,
some do.
But I don't know who those agencies are.
I don't
so
know.
Freelance would mean that they're not signing you right away and they're kind of sending you out,
you. Yeah. Yeah,
seeing how you do.
Seeing
and then if you get good feedback or something like that, then they will eventually,
mm-hmm.
hopefully, sign
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if agencies still do that or not.
They did. When I started out, I knew that agencies would do that, but
yeah, and I would hear from actors about having to be cleared and
right.
doing all of that.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because
yeah.
you could freelance with more than one agent
right.
then
right.
if you're not signed.
Sounds messy
yeah.
to me.
I think it's less and less now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think.
I
haven't
imagine.
Heard of anybody
heard.
Doing it
right.
recently.
Okay, so what are the big mistakes that people make,
mm-hmm.
actors make? What are your pet peeves?
For me, it's when I'm meeting a young actor and they are sort of act like they know everything.
Uh-huh.
And they're like telling me how it's supposed to be done. And I'm like, okay, I respect that. But that's not as collaborative.
Right.
And so that's sort of, you know, a red flag for me. Or just, okay, well, you know it. So you're not going to be open to experience and conversation. So, you know, that's, I feel like that's the big one for me.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for
yeah.
me also. And, you know, as far as a new client is concerned, if you were to get an agent, and I think a lot of actors make the mistake of doing this when they switch agencies, maybe they weren't feeling well taken care of, so that they've kind of taken over the manager job of their own career.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't need anyone sending me a breakdown, you know, saying, hey, I saw this.
Oh, right.
There's got to be a trust factor there.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's about communication, but it has to make sense also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's just kind of it.
Yeah. I feel like we're both the same. We just want to be around good people.
Right.
Can people call you and say, oh, I heard this is happening. I feel like I'm perfect for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's more about an energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about an energy. If I'm feeling that you're not trusting what I'm bringing to the table, then we're probably not the right match.
Mm-hmm. Trust is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also rely on actors for information, you know. you're all part of this business as well.
Right. So. That's what I was just going to ask you. Do you feel like how important it is for an actor to know themselves and know the parts that they're right for?
Very important. And I think that's sometimes also going back to signing. If somebody's like, I think that I'm so-and-so, but they're not anywhere near that.
Yes.
That's a big discrepancy. And so it's usually not a good fit because you want to be on the same page in terms of like how I'm going to talk about you in the business versus how you think you're supposed to be spoken about.
Right.
So I think that's really important to make sure it's,
and
you know.
We just met with someone and at the end of the meeting, we were floored at what roles they thought that they were right for. Mm. It was shocking to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, I really want actors to be open to more than just the no-brainers. And I ask that all the time of like, great, I understand what's the center of your wheelhouse,
mm-hmm.
but what are the spokes?
Yeah.
You know, where can we branch out? Because what I love about building a career is when that announcement goes out, whether it's theater, TV, or film, of I love it when someone says, they got that role.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just wait. You have yeah. no idea what's in store.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't come out of the blue. Like for, let's say if it's you and I, like we have probably been talking about that sort of role for mm-hmm. a while. And so it doesn't come out of the blue for us, but surprising the industry, keeping them on their toes is always really exciting. So when you go from one project to another and has nothing, mm-hmm. no similarity, right. that's really exciting.
Yeah. I love
yeah,
doing that too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Keep shocking the industry.
Right. Right.
What advice do you have for young performers?
You gotta eat, drink, sleep, all of it, you know,
really?
Give your all. Just be kind. I think that's huge. I think that it's so easy to get wrapped up in yourself and treat people like shit. And that's just, people find out about that, you know?
Mm.
And like we said, it's so much about an energy. And I don't want to work with someone who's not, you know, enjoying and happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a big thing.
I agree with that. And honestly, I'll give the advice that I was given. If you can think of anything
yes.
else to do, you should explore that because being an actor, it's a tough business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a successful actor has a 90% rejection rate.
Yeah.
And I know I don't have that in me. Like I would never want to be part of that. But I am good at being a part of that. Does
mm-hmm.
that does that
mm-hmm.
make sense? You know, at this point, giving bad news to an actor, it happens many, many times a day for me. So I've just gotten used to that. But for me, if I were being told that over and over, that's just not part of my DNA. But I do think someone who's in this business, in it for the long haul, it is part of their DNA.
Yes.
I think being an actor is one of those, it's just part of who you are. It's like being a doctor or
yeah.
being a lawyer. If like I see a real actor say, I'm done. I'm out of this business and I'm going to leave. I'm like, you'll be back.
You'll be back.
You'll be back. And sometimes when an actor says, I got to go, I'm going to leave the business, I'm like, yeah.
Go for it.
Go for it. You
uh-huh.
should explore that. Because it's a small percentage of people who are really made for it.
Yeah. yeah I always, when I talk to colleges or something, I always say, it's not necessarily your talent. It's how well you can handle rejection.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's true.
Because you're just beaten down all the time. And if you can let that roll off your back then and not let it affect your work
mm-hmm.
and everything, then
yep.
you have a better chance of making it.
I think there's an art in how you walk in a room too.
Really good
know?
Point.
Yeah. And how you carry yourself.
Yes.
You know, I think that's something I spend a lot of my day talking to actors about.
Really?
You know,
that's
kind of preparing
point, yeah.
them mentally and because, you know, people want to work with, like they want to work with the people that walk in and they're excited and they're not over eager, but
yes.
they kind of know themselves and know their worth,
mm-hmm.
which of course is like, we all deal with that every day. But I think that's a huge thing. And also creating your own projects. I
really
think
good
really
point.
Really important. You know, I work with a lot of actors that love to create their own web series or podcasts or things to stay creative and stay active in the business. And I think it's social media and all that, it's easy to do, easier to do that now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that keeps you.
Speaking of that, if someone did create something, say a cabaret or something downtown, would there be a chance that they could get you guys to go see it? How would they even, you know, try and do something like that, get agents to come see a show that they created?
I think you have to be specific of who you're targeting.
Right.
You know, again, it kind of goes back to find out who the newer agents
are. Right, so try and get the newer agents to go see.
Who's building their list. Right. And honestly, even my assistant, who is an extension of me, I mean, she finishes my sentences at this point. Find out who that is.
Right.
You know, she wants to be an agent one day. Mm-hmm. So if she came back to my office and said, hey, I went down to a cabaret last night and I saw this amazing person I really think you should meet, I wouldn't even blink. I would meet that person.
For sure. Mm.
Okay, that's a really, really good helpful tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, I think that is, you guys helped our audience so much. That was such great advice. Thank you so much for
being here.
Thanks, Carrie Butler.
Thank you for going out of your comfort zone to be on my podcast.
I'm such a fangirl here.
Yeah, right.
You guys were amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Dori Berenstein, edited by Alan Seals, opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are great.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.